In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I love my home and my sense of belonging to a community. I love the way I've decorated the rooms in my home. I love my books and my pictures and the mementos of my life. And I enjoy feeling settled. As I get older, as much as I love to travel, I really love coming home again among my things. My things. I've got lots of things. How about you? As I started to prepare this sermon at the beginning of the week, on a whim, I went into the kitchen and I started counting the number of pots and pans that I own, because I love to cook, as some of you know. I started counting and I gave up counting at 20. Do I really need 20 pans? Most likely not. I could probably cook a decent meal with 2 pans. But I've accumulated them over the years, and I keep thinking I may need them for some recipe at some point in the future. So I hang on to them, and I feel fortunate to have them. I'm not alone in this. I think we all tend to acquire things, not always because we need them, but because we want them. Sometimes we get buyer's remorse. Sometimes the things we acquire don't get used. But every time we acquire something, we are making a symbolic gesture. We're saying that we see something in that acquisition that is an act of hope, if you will. It might be that I buy a particular piece of cooking equipment because I believe I'm going to prepare something that will require it, sort of like the nifty ice cream maker I bought last year, which is still in its box. Haven't made any ice cream yet, but I will someday. I might buy a particular article of clothing, even though I can't quite fit into it right now, because I believe I will fit into that article of clothing soon. Soon, I tell you. Don't laugh. We get things, whether we need them or simply want them, because they're symbols to us of our future activity. They are, in fact, acts of hope. And that leads me to think about why the prophet Jeremiah, in our Old Testament reading this morning, did a rather odd thing. He acquired a piece of land. And to understand why it's odd, you need to know a little bit about Jeremiah's circumstances back then. It is wartime. Israel is being crushed by the Babylonians. Jeremiah is not only worried about the Babylonians, he's actually under house arrest in the court of the king of Judah. It's a time of war, just generally meaning a time of hopelessness. And in the midst of this, Jeremiah receives a divine message. He acts in response to it. Jeremiah's cousin comes to him while Jeremiah is under house arrest and offers to sell him a piece of land. It's what God said was going to happen. Now, in case you've forgotten, let me remind you, Jeremiah is under arrest. The country's in a state of war. So, of course, Jeremiah is going to buy a piece of property, right? It makes no sense. Unless it is a sign of something. And Jeremiah, being a prophet, well, prophets are, after all, always about signs of things to come. It's part of the job description, right? So what might the acquisition of this field mean? What kind of sign is a land transaction in the midst of war? Maybe it is an act of hope. After all, why would you buy a piece of land unless you believe that at some time in the future you would be able to grow something on it without soldiers trampling all over it or taking all the things that you grow on it? That wouldn't happen unless there's peace. Buying a piece of property in the midst of war, a crazy thing, yeah? Unless it's a sign that God will eventually give the people of Israel relief from war. It's a sign that better days are coming soon. It is an act of hope. We've had a young gentleman staying with us for a couple of days, a friend of my daughter Allie's. He comes from Boulder, Colorado. He's actually in transit to New York City, but he took the long way around. And out in Colorado, folks are recovering from the heavy rains and the mudslides that have devastated the area, particularly around Boulder where he comes from. When Ron showed up with his van was packed with all of his goods. They all fit into the van. Younger people can still do that. Those of us who are a little bit older, we can't fit all our stuff in one van. He had his bicycle strapped onto the back. He's making this big move into New York City. And I asked him if the problems with weather in Colorado were what inspired him to make this move. And he said, no, I actually was planning all this all along. I've been saving up my money to be able to make this move for several months. And when we heard that the storms were coming, I made sure that all of my stuff was safe in a safe place so that when the weather let up, I could head out. He was hopeful. He knew something better was coming, and he had prepared himself. He had stored all of his goods, and he got the van ready, and when the rains receded a little bit and the roads were clear, he came east. In a way, we could say that the prophet Jeremiah did exactly the same thing. In the midst of the awfulness of the war with Babylon, he did something that to us seems utterly counterintuitive. He didn't just hunker down and try and get through. At God's instruction, he prepared for a hopeful future. The hopeful future that God promises us all. Jeremiah bought that land because God said to him, houses and fields and vineyards shall again be bought in this land. Now, if you have any doubt that God and Jeremiah as his prophet are talking about long-term peace, I point you at the word vineyard. Vineyards take years to yield their fruit. So this is not just a short-term land flip. It's a long-term investment, which means long-term peace. Remarkable promise in that troubled time, in that troubled place. But how does this translate for us here in Lakeside in 2013 on this beautiful autumn day? Is God saying, go buy a piece of land? Well, for one or two of us, that may be true. But maybe the larger answer to this question may be that we're expected to be a hopeful people. And the things that we do, whether it is buying a piece of land or a pair of jeans a size smaller than we currently wear, are all signs of how much hope we have that God will care for us. On the face of it, talking about buying something as a hopeful sign seems like the exact opposite of what is happening in the gospel story today, where the rich man who's so cruel and unhelpful to poor Lazarus gets punished for not caring for the beggar during life. And it sets up an odd sort of juxtaposition between the gospel and the Old Testament reading, even though they're both talking about money stuff. But they seem to be coming at it from very, very different approaches. Is Jeremiah saying, amass wealth as a wise investment because God will take care of you? Is Luke's gospel saying, if you're rich, give to the poor or else you'll go to hell? Here's the short answer. Yes and no. God's message through Jeremiah is not about acquiring things per se. It's about God helping those who have been suffering. The people of Israel. The purchase of the land is merely a symbol of God's promise of hope for the future. God's message through Christ in the Gospel of Luke is not about giving away stuff, per se, although we know that that's a good thing. It's about God saying we have an obligation to offer the very same promise of hope spoken of in Jeremiah in practical help to those who have no hope. It's not about the money. It's about the hope. If you're under siege, God says that there will be better times. So prepare for those better times. If you're hungry and hurting, God says that God's people should share with you so that you will not be left without succor at the gate. It is not about buying and selling things. It's about what those things represent. Are you buying to make yourself feel better or in hope for all in the future? Are you selling to cash out and hoard your wealth, keeping the proceeds? Or are you planning to share it with those who need a hand? What is your hope for the future? What are the signs in your life that most represent that hope? Not only for you, but for those who need hope. Think about that. And let us pray now for hope. Gracious God, you have promised every blessing, even heaven itself, through Jesus Christ. We rely on your infinite power, goodness, and mercy, and on your sacred promises to which you are always faithful. We are confident that you are always with us, always helping us, always giving us grace to serve you faithfully in this life by doing the good works that you have commanded. With your assistance, we will do those good works, helping your people as we are able, being shining lights in this community and in the world. We pray this through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.